Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week, you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through meditations, readings, and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. I'm Susan Jane, the Intuitist, and I'll be your host for this Intuition and Spirituality series. In this series, we are discussing topics with intuition and spirituality because they are so closely interlinked. In the last episode, 1.14, we talked about how helping transient beings cross over. In that episode, we discussed how this 18th century transient being came and we had trouble moving her on, or actually crossing her over, because we don't like to just move them on. So you'll hear about that in the last podcast at 1.14. In this podcast, we will discuss some of the ways to help your child with the boogeyman or tame those monsters under the bed. But a quick recap on intuition first. Intuition is communication from our spiritual being to our physical body. And it does this in order to create some type of action. So our spiritual being will talk to our physical body to create some form of action. Now, this is how our spiritual being communicates with us, because our spirit requires an action or a learning that can only be achieved whilst in a physical body. We receive intuition, our intuitive messages, physically, mentally, emotionally, and visually. And this is done as a mental thought, a visual impression, an emotional expression, or even a physical feeling. Now let's get stuck into the topics today. How to help your child if they're experiencing monsters under the bed or in the cupboard, or in the case of my daughter, sitting on the chair beside her, watching her every night. Of course, this information will be dependent on the age of your child, so it will be general and spread across different aspects. But first things first, the most important aspect in helping your child is to empower them. You can give your child all the answers they ask for, but when they feel that they are not in control or that only you can do it, then they lose some of that power. You must let your child come up with the answers while you guide them along the right path to achieve them. Remember, their spirit could be old, but their body is young. They connect freely with other spirits who are waiting to go home or may not know how. Often a child will have an imaginary friends, see monsters, or be afraid of the dark because of the newness of being back in a body. Be patient with them and get a happy blend of spiritual aspects and what is required in a physical sense. They can't live in a dream world, but they also can't ignore it. So how to empower your child to trust their intuition? Listen, first of all, to what they have to say. Don't fob it off as nonsense. For them, it is very real. When my girls were young, they would often talk about the man in the shed. They didn't like him much. They felt scared. But I couldn't see him, and yet they could give me a very clear picture of what he looked like. They were also aware that he was looking for something and wasn't supposed to be in our big machinery shed on the farm. By listening to what they had to say, I could find out things. I understood what was important to them or what stood out for them. And that gave me a lot of understanding of how to help them, and possibly the man in the shed with the big black hat. So listen to what your child has to say. Get an understanding of how they're expressing themselves and what's important to them. Now, as you're doing this, the second part is don't come up with any answers until you have heard the full story. And this is so you know exactly what they are scared of or what they're feeling, and you'll know a better way to guide them, to help them. Don't jump in with answers too quick. In fact, don't jump in with answers at all. To empower your child, even though they're really young, let them come up with the best answers that suit them. The information they give you will help you guide them towards the right answers. So it's up to you just to prompt them along. Now the next part is allow them to speak without interrupting. Don't say, oh, it was only a dream. Let them speak. Let them express it. Let them tell you it. This is hard when your child's scared and you want to reassure them. But it's also hard to relive a frightening experience which your child may have just gone through. Prompting them to speak about it, to describe it to you so they can get a better picture of it, is so much better than just letting it go, if you can. When things become more familiar to us, we are not as fearful of them or about them. So if we can talk about it, it can take away a lot of that fear. Now, another aspect there too is if they say they don't know, often people will say, oh, I don't know. I know it's there, but I don't know what it is. Just prompt them with words such as, if you did know, what would it look like? Well, if you did know, what would it feel like? And get them to start to go a little bit deeper, to really delve into what they're feeling and where they're going. Get them to talk as much as possible. And while they're doing that, you're taking those mental notes to help them. Now, the next part, let them use their imagination. I say this because they are young, obviously, and they don't understand a lot of things. I keep going back to, I remember watching a documentary on Nostradamus, and one of the things that he said was he could see the humans or people in pig-like faces, and they were discussing, when they sort of worked it out, they thought it was during World War II where the fighter pilots were wearing oxygen masks. So their faces looked pig-like, like they looked like they had a snout because that was the oxygen mask. So let your child use their imagination to explain what they're seeing or feeling, because they may not understand what an oxygen mask is and they see it this particular way, just as Nostradamus did. Be very open to allow them to talk about it. And when they're discussing things, just try and delve a little bit deeper into each thing that you could do. Or, you know, let me explain that a little bit better. If they say it was big, what they saw was big, ask how big, compare it to. Is it big as a car? Is it big as the tree outside? How big is big? Try and get that understanding for them. I remember when my youngest daughter first told me about her astral travelling. Now, astral travelling is when you leave your body, and often that you do it at night. The spirit will leave the body. We're always connected by a string, but your soul or your spirit will leave your body. And when you're in an astral travel state, it's almost like it's a full moon, like you could imagine walking around in a full moon. It's got that sort of a real blue tinge to it. So when she started telling me about it, she didn't know what it was and had to explain it. And she did that in the most fascinating way. There was times where she just didn't know what she was saying, but she tried to express it and I tried to visualize what she was saying. And it was really interesting how she was putting it forward. And then there was other times, this particular time, where she just came straight out and said, Mum, could you ask the girl sitting in my chair to stop staring at me all night? I've had enough. Every time I roll over, there she is. Please tell her to go away. Now, I'm looking at her chair going, yeah, right, I can't see anything. But of course, she could. And she saw it every night. So we had to go through it. And then I'd say, well, what does the girl look like and how is it? I remember her saying to me, she said there was a baby in the cupboard and it had been hung. And I said to her, oh, often there was times there when babies would be climbing out of their cot and their clothes would get caught on the cot and they would hang themselves. It was really sad. They had to change the style of cots and clothing and just to counteract this. And she said, no, Mum, this was done deliberately. Now, she had all this understanding, but it frightened her. And I had to work her through it, work with her, and she worked out how to move that on and how to change it. I'll tell you more about that later on. But anyway, once you've heard the story or the problem, it's up to you to let the child step up and take control. If you do too much, you take away their power and restrict them from trusting their intuition at an early age. Let them decide on the best course of action to achieve the best results they want. Be open to talk about their situation, but also be mindful not to let it get out of hand. They are still on this earth in this physical body. There is plenty to learn physically and spiritually. Let them have imaginary friends, but make sure they have physical ones as well. We've got to maintain this happy balance. One of the areas that a friend of mine had when her daughter was going through this type of thing was trying to get that understanding of when, in all honesty, when the child was telling the truth and when the child was playing on it. So it is getting that understanding where they're allowing to be themselves, but also not portray to be something different or something else. So these are the sorts of things that you have to understand. And I mean, it's the same with any time, you know, like you find chocolate left on the floor and you say to the kids, well, who did that? Well, you know, they're all going to say, not me or Johnny did. So it's the same sort of principle. When they've got imaginary friends, they can sometimes go that my friend told me to do it, you know, and blame the child. Now that's no different if it was their brother or sister, just being mindful of that. Okay, so you've got a clearer understanding by now of what the child is experiencing. So it could be like monsters under the bed, people or shadows moving around, things hiding in the cupboards, or they could be feeling like they're being attacked. They could have imaginary friends, again, that could be guiding them or asking them to do things that they may not normally do. Be mindful of that. Or they could be scared of the dark and not sure why. So there's many things that could be creating these issues. And for us to jump in too quickly, even when they've had a dream or a nightmare and we just go, oh, that's just a nightmare, there's a reason behind it. So don't be too quick to jump in and give some answers. There's all sorts of things and there's a lot of time that they are not frightened or scared. So you can imagine there could be times when they're not frightened or scared. They can have imaginary friends and not be frightened or scared. However, it's usually when they are that they come to their parents, they come to seek some guidance. And that could be from waking up after a nightmare or just wanting, all of a sudden wanting to sleep with the light on, you know, little signs like that that help us. There was a time when I used to say to my kids, you know, oh, don't be silly, there's nothing to be frightened of. And when I think about it, I think, well, what made them scared? What made me scared of monsters under the bed at night? I knew that there was monsters under the bed. I didn't know what they were. There was something under the bed. I knew there was nothing there physically, and yet in the same time I knew that there was something there. So it's probably more of the unknown that we're scared of because we don't quite know what it is. So for a child to be frightened, there's a reason. And by talking to them, we can find that reason. Maybe not straight away, maybe over a period of time. And we don't want to make a big deal out of it in one hit. We want to let it go session by session. Let the child talk about it and then reassure them so that they can go back to sleep if they've just woken up. If they're wide awake, then you can start to implement some of the ideas to help them. Remember, you can give them some ideas, but let your child decide the best one to use. And only use one at a time. For example, if you decide to use crystals for a little while, Let them use that. Let them get the understanding of that. It may be a week, it may be 2 weeks, it may be a couple of days, but let them get an understanding that this particular thing that they've chosen is going to help them. Then if they do have another session or another situation, then implement another aspect, but just one. So then you've got the crystals and then you'll have another one. But do it one at a time so the child can learn to be creative with their intuition, but more about being more in control and empowered. Now, I've got a little list here I've put together for you of different things we can do. Now, there's no particular order. It's up to the child to determine the best way to protect themselves and create trust in their intuition. But I need to let you know what the ones are and the best way to go about it. And again, this is going to be determined by the child's age, their ability, even financial situations, because you may have to go out and purchase different things. So it's all about that side of it. You need to pick the different types of things that you can do and how you can get through it, and then help guide the child into picking the best one. So here we go. Here are some of the tips that you can help share with your child. At the end of this, I'm going to give you tips for yourself as a parent. So the first thing to do, which is nice and easy, is to use their toys to protect them. Now, similar to like Toy Story, you know where the toys come alive at night? We can make these toys like their guards, their protectors. You make sure there's a few of them there just in case we don't want to get one lost and then we've, you know, only have one and get it lost and then we're all in all sorts of bother. And try not to have too many. So you want, say, 5 or 6 of their toys, and you ask you ask the child what each of the toys' superpower is, like what they're going to do to help them protect you. If we've got a teddy, what could the teddy do to help protect you? The teddy's going to do this or do that, and you could put the teddy in a certain space around the bed. So the child starts to create this little, not a barrier, but like a little form, a little protection around them. And they can be on their bed, again, not too many, because you want to find the child amongst all the toys. But they can have little soldiers or robots or fairies or whatever it is that they feel will protect them. So pick a few toys. If you're going for their birthday present or, you know, Easter or Christmas or whatever is coming up, maybe have a look at something to that effect. What can we get that's going to make you feel comfortable in bed, and maybe get rid of those monsters or scare them off, or, you know, something to that effect. So there's ways you can do it, but allow them to choose the bear or the toy or the whatever it is that's going to look after them. Let them pick where they want to be. Let them pick their superpowers. If they don't understand superpowers, you can go, well, like Superman, he can fly really fast and chase them away. Or like Batman, he can hide in the dark and scare them away. Or, you know, you can give them some ideas so they can help, you know, get that understanding of what their superpowers are. So that's their toys. Now, that's nice and easy. It's about keeping on going through that. If they have a little session, then you can say, okay, well, we might need to bring in another toy, another superpower, and you keep on doing that until you feel that that's not working as well. Another thing you can use then is you can use crystals. Now, this is a good one if the child's a little bit older, and I would suggest if you can, I mean, if you've got your own crystals, that's fine, but I would suggest if you can take them to the shop and just, you know, purchase a couple of the tumble stones, not anything over the top expensive. I've got a list here of a few that you can pick, but allow the child to pick out the sorts that they feel is comfortable with. Even if you put 10 on the desk and you can say, look, pick 2 or 3 or pick 5 or, and let them choose what they would like or what resonates with them. Some of them can be black tourmaline, black obsidian, smoky quartz, shangite, labradorite, amber, amethyst, and fluorite. Amethyst is a nice little one. Fluorite's got the green and the pink in it. Amethyst is that purpley color. Smoky quartz, I've got a crystal ball made out of smoky quartz and I love it. But the black obsidian's really nice too. That's got that lovely shiny look. So there's plenty there for them to choose. And look, to be honest, don't be too pedantic about it. If they like the pink crystals, let them get the pink crystals. It's all about their mindset and their attitude towards it. So grab these little crystals, the little stones, and again, allow the child to place them in their room and ask why you're putting that there. How is that going to help? Reinforce this understanding that these things will help them with the right attitude, the right beliefs. These will help them. Now, the next thing you can do, which could get a little bit messy, so be mindful, of course, is the essential oils. So you can purchase yourself a little plastic spray bottle if you're worried about the child breaking anything, or use one of your old perfume bottles. You know, you wash it out and you could use that. Again, make it special for the child. Make it important. If you've already got essential oils, you know, have a smell and put some together. Maybe only blend maximum of three types together. One or two is plenty, but maximum of three, otherwise it just gets a bit over the top. And if you can, be a little bit mindful. If you do know about essential oils, be a bit mindful of the ones that can keep them awake. We don't want that. Lavender is great. It's top of the list here on my list. There is lemon, cypress, grapefruit, frankincense, sage, and peppermint. I do find that the citrusy ones are a little bit of a wake up, you know, they're a little bit of a lift. So be maybe not good for nighttime, but lavender would be lovely and frankincense would be really nice too. Frankincense is not a cheap one, it's one of the dearer ones. So be mindful of that. But yeah, just pop a couple of drops into a bottle and let the child spray. That will get rid of them. So they can spray their room. They can spray it under the bed and they can use that when they need to. Now, if you think they're going to get a little bit carried away with it, just allow them to spray and then take it away from them so they're not with them all night. But they can also use that if they're going to a friend's place. Perfect. Take with them for a friend's place. Spray the room if you want to. And also, when they get used to that particular scent, it actually helps them sleep. So they start to relax a lot quicker. So a perfect way for helping your child. Now there's another one too. This is a little bit sneaky, and that's why I love it. It's it's mineral salts. So this is probably a trick for the mum and dad. So add some Epsom salts or Dead Sea salts to the bath at night. Now the salts draw away negative energy from the child and it can help them sleep better. So another way you can use the salts is in those little muslin bags or the little, muslin bags or calico cloth bags. The smaller ones you get, the better. And with those calico ones, I used to get the kids to colour in. That's why I wasn't so keen on the muslin, because you can't colour in the muslin like you can with the calico. So they could draw on the calico. Put some of the Himalayan pink salt in for that if you've got that. And this is the little bag that will attract the shadows from the room. And what it does is that the spirit will go into the bag, be attracted by the salt, and then you can take that away, throw it out, because it actually absorbs moisture. So throw it out and start again with another one over after a week or so. And that way you're helping the child understand that they've got a bit of power and they've got a bit of control over it. So that's that one. Now, if your child's old enough, you can help them too by asking them what they feel is the best way to deal with the situation. Sometimes it takes a child asking them to go away in a firm voice if the spirits, with some of the spirits that you're dealing with. They may not go for long, but if the child knows how they can do that, then it allows them to do it again and again if they need to. So let them practice out loud, making sure that they're asking them to leave, and it does become easier for them. With my daughter, when she was aware that they wanted her help, she was a teenager by then, just younger than a teenager, actually. But she realized that they wanted her help, but she didn't know how to do that. And she really didn't want to. So she ended up asking them to leave because she couldn't help. But she did say, maybe later on in her life, when she feels a bit more in control and has a bit more understanding of it, they could come back and ask if she could help again. But again, she said, if it's too soon, I will ask you to leave again. So this gave her the power she wanted for them to leave, but also left it open that they could come back later on. And if it was too soon, she was going to ask them to leave again. So there was no big deal to it. She's now in her 30s and she hasn't had the same sort of exposure she had as a child, although it was a little bit stronger during her pregnancy. She did notice it a little bit more. You can do all of these things for your child, including creating stories with them about how the monsters under the bed had to leave. So you could make up stories about it and have them say, oh, that's because I did this or we did that. Let them use their imagination as much as you can. Make it as real as you can for them. Give them the power to be in charge of their life. Well, at least a little bit. But there's also a couple of other things that parents can do. For example, the burning of the white sage. So you can purchase that. If your child's a bit older, you can do that with them. But of course, you're using matches and things like that. So be really mindful of that. We don't want to burn any houses down. Take the sage right through the house. Some people do it is they close everything up in the house. They take the sage all the way through, corner to corner in each room. If child's got one under the bed, in the cupboards, you can do all that. So you sort of fill the room with smoke and then you open it all up and you release all that energy. So that's one way of doing it. So that's the white sage. You can buy that at the New Age stores or possibly online somewhere. The other thing is you can bubble your child. Now you can do that too with the child. So say you got your little blowing bubbles, you know, you got your dishwashing detergent and we used to use, I don't know, wire and make bubble blowers. While you're blowing bubbles, you can actually guide them to say, well, you know, like if you ever get scared, you can always pretend yourself you're in a bubble. You know, how would that feel being in a bubble? Would it feel really exciting? There's ways to do that. Now, you, again, train your child. You can actually bubble your child as well. So you can put that protective bubble around them. You can also white light them. So create that white light of protection. When I'm doing my white light work, I tend to bring white light down from the sky and it comes through into my crown chakra or the top of my head and I express it through my heart chakra. So it comes in through one and out through the other and I create this white light of healing white light. You've got to remember to get rid of any darkness, the only way you can do it is with light. So white light coming through that way is purest. It's really nice. So they're all the tricks. I can't remember them all. They're written down. There are probably a lot more tips and tricks to help your child with taming the monsters under the bed. But I hope these ones have helped you and gives you an understanding. But the main takeaway is as much as possible, let your child be in control of those things that they feel that they're out of control with. Empower them to trust their intuition by asking them what they think is the best way to deal with the situation. Even at their very young age, they are still naturally intuitive because it is part of human nature. It is their intuitive nature. So for more tips and tools for trusting your intuition, subscribe to the podcast. Follow me, Susan Jane the Intuitist, on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or jump onto the website, intuitivenature.com.au, and check out the blogs and free resources. Thank you for listening. I'm Susan Jane the Intuitist, and I'm saying bye for now.